Money FM 89.3, best of weekends. Beautiful Places with Neil Humphreys on Weekend Mornings with Glenn Van Zutphen on Money FM 89.3.
Neil Humphreys, where do we go in our beautiful place today?
We go to a place where you have been this week. You inspired my choice this week, Mr. Van Zutphen, because we touched on it briefly last week because this particular place was in the news. We are going to one of my easily favourite places in Singapore. So when I say beautiful places this week, I mean it. The old Kallang Airport.
Ooh, nice.
I think it's one of the sexiest, prettiest, curviest, most beautiful Art Deco buildings in Singapore. I literally put my money where my mouth is because a few years ago I wrote a book called Saving a Sexier Island, Notes from an Old Singapore, and to celebrate SG50, being the rebel that I am, I went the other way and I celebrated 50 great places, many of which predate 1965 because, shock horror, Singapore didn't actually begin in 1965 or 1959. It did exist before both dates. And it produced wonderful, beautiful buildings like the old Kallang Airport. So that airport featured in my book as one of my favourite 50 places in Singapore. And we touched on it last week. And first, before we get into it, you went there this week, didn't you, to have a look? And how was it?
You know, I was on my way back from the National Stadium. I had to run over there during the week. And so I took the detour coming out, and I parked by the old airport. And, of course, many of our listeners may know that it's kind of the parking spot for the Malaysia buses.
Yes.
The highway buses that go there. And there were a few there. But it was a beautiful day, one of those breezy days we had last week. Sunny. I just decided, you know, I wanted to just take a minute and actually go by the big old gate.
Beautiful.
It's got the lion on it and everything, and then just kind of just sit there for a minute and just look and imagine what that drive up to the airport must have been. Of course, now it's bifurcated, that's your word for the day.
That's a great word.
By a road. It's not the original driveway all the way up to the terminal building, but you can still sit there and kind of just see enough of it. So I took a bunch of pictures, and I sent you some pictures from there when I was there. And, you know, you just touch those old gates and you can just feel the history of what must have happened. I mean, think about this. You know, built in 1937, right? 2 years before the war even started and 4 years before Singapore was occupied. And, you know, people coming and going, maybe people rushing out of Singapore to avoid the war, to travel someplace else, you know, get away, or, you know, or during the war, obviously what happened, or after the war, people coming back. And, you know, you just feel the history of that little park area that's by the main gate and then on the other side, which is the final drive up to the terminal itself. And I just hope and pray that all of that is preserved. That fittingly, you know, this was really the gateway to sort of modern Singapore. Of course, you know, Paya Lebar came and then Changi Airport came.
Yeah.
We can't forget those. But this was really the
Well, this is why I asked you first, because I'm going to work backwards and tell you that in 2009, the east and west blocks of Kallang Airport, with the terminal building, with the hangars, with the main gate and the lampposts, which I'll get to, were gazetted for conservation in December 2008. Great. So to answer your question, they have to be saved. And the reason I'm starting with those points is because when we go to Universal Studios and we go to the old 50s-looking diners, we love all that stuff because it replicates a world of the past that we're not familiar with, whether it's, you know, Back to the Future or Small Town America and so on and so on. We love that stuff. If you go today, this afternoon, to those very places that you mentioned, you literally step back in time. But the difference is this stuff is real. Those gateposts are real. Those lampposts, those beautiful Edwardian lampposts are still there. They were built in the 1930s. And the old road that you mentioned, it's not an actual road now, but it's still there.
So this area where the gate is that area gazetted as well?
Yes.
Or just the terminal building?
Yes, those gateposts are gazetted. Those gateposts
so
are gazetted.
What about the area to the left and the right? Because there's quite a large park area, some big, beautiful old trees.
I'm sure they'll build something there at some point. Yeah, but the gateposts, the gate, I believe, the lampposts that align the road
the
leading
driveway,
up to the airport and to the terminal building.
Yeah.
So if you walk along this path, you step back into Edwardian times. You step back into 1930s. All right, let's not get imperialistic, but you step back into 1930s British Empire.
Yeah.
You step back into 1930s Singapore. Yes, a very atas high-class Singapore. Let's not kid ourselves. If you were flying in 1937, you are extraordinarily wealthy.
A lot of money.
So this was a wealthy Singapore. It wasn't everyday Singapore. But in the year 2020, to have so much of 1930s Singapore preserved is A, extraordinary, and B, bizarre, because a lot of the greenery, a lot of the vegetation has grown back, hasn't it? Which adds an eerie feel to it. It feels like something out of Lara Croft Tomb Raider, you know, when they find an old South American city beneath the forest kind of thing. It has that feel. As you mentioned, you've got to put into context how old this place is. It was built at a time when that whole Kallang Basin was populated primarily with crocodiles. That's how far back we're going, right? They had to literally remove the crocodiles, drain the swamp of the Kallang Basin on reclaimed land, built the Kallang Airport, 1937, for just $8 million. Almost as much as our salary. You know, $8 million. They had to transport thousands of tons of clay subsoil into the Kallang Basin to fill it in. 6.2 million cubic meters to fill the swamp.
Wow.
Exactly, right? Opens up.
Wait, did they build the Merdeka Bridge at that time as well? Or was that was already built, wasn't it? Because there was a pathway to get from downtown to the East Coast. That road.
Yes, yes. The East Coast was there. So you had Mountbatten Road then. That would have been a seafront kind of road. And I'm trying to follow my routes down to the airport road. You had Dakota Crescent was built opposite. That was built in a sort of No, that was later. That was the 40s and 50s, I think.
Sorry, I just sprung that one on you, but I was just wondering.
Yes, no.
Because I know that I think the Merdeka Bridge goes back to the 30s.
Yes, I think it's. We'll look correct. It up. We'll look it
anyway,
up in real time.
Sorry, carry on. Yep.
But yes, so you've got this early kind of modernist British architecture fitted with those wonderful art, that whole 20s, 30s period. It was excessive. It was ostentatious. It was very representative of American wealth and British empire, yes, but it looks great. It still does. Yeah, the Merdeka Bridge opened about 20 years after. So
they would have gone sort of on Lavender behind, on Lavender Road.
That's right. And the runway was a grassy area, which was also suitable for the landing of those early seaplanes that were popular in the 30s. So seaplanes used to also land. Sure. And we know, of course, that the airport's boundary is what we now know today is the old airport road. So when you go for your makan down at that hawker center, you can literally picture seaplanes coming in on what is now the old airport road. That would almost be the runway running up to the airport. It was a glorious building. Wealthy people, yes, using their old Model T Fords and whatever the cars were of that time. Very glorious, very Hercule Poirot, very 1930s as I picture it in my mind's eye. But the fact that it's still there and the fact that it's been gazetted, even though the airport itself closed down in the 1950s and was replaced by Paya Lebar Airport, is absolutely astonishing to me. And to bring it right up to date, the Singapore Land Authority, the SLA, has opened up to the public. They want your recommendations. They want your observations. They want your requests. You know, we often say, oh, you know, the government does this, the government does that. They want to hear from the public. Go to the SLA websites. They want public recommendations on what they are going to do with this glorious landmark. We know that the People's Association used it for a while. It was their headquarters for a while. I think for almost 50 years, actually, until about 2009. And on and off, it's been pretty empty ever since, minus the odd exhibition here and there.
Yeah,
it's a glorious site. In a glorious place.
They used to use it for staging and building of the floats for the Chingay. Yeah. I don't know if they still do or not. I haven't seen it recently. But one of the little facts that I had read was that the landing ground made way for the first national stadium in 1973, completed in 73.
Right.
So it's been a long time since that land has been parceled off and away. And, of course, with the addition of the new KPE entrance to the tunnel, those roads are getting closer and closer to the old terminal building, very close now. You couldn't get even a small airplane in that area next to the terminal now.
But you can get lots of people there because they've now built that bridge that connects, that goes over the highway that connects the new national stadium to the old airport building. So it's just prime real estate in the perfect place to have all sorts of exhibitions or tie-ins possibly with whatever's happening at the national stadium. If you had the rugby sevens there, you could have a rugby exhibition. If you've got a big K-pop band there, you could have a K. Look, whatever it is, just use it. you know, you've got the plaque, you've got the facade, you've got the exterior of the building. Use it so that new generations of Singaporeans are familiar with their history. When I was there for my book, when I went there, I'll never forget it because a sweet auntie stopped me outside the building in that pathway and said, "Where you going?" And I said, "Nowhere. I'm here." "Why? There's nothing here." "Right. No, this is here. This is here, right in front of us." "Ah, close already." Right. I'm not making this up. She said, "It's in my book. Other books are available." She said, "No, you're in the wrong place. You need to go Changi."
She really thought you were
It's in my book.
Lining up for a flight.
"You need to go Changi." I said, "No, I'm not flying. Look at me. I'm in T-shirt and shorts. Where's my luggage? Where's my passport?" "No, airport closed already. Changi, Changi, go Changi, go Changi." She's practically ordering me to the MRT station at Kallang, you know, "Go Changi, Changi, Changi. This one closed already, long time already, closed already. And more, closed already." Getting quite, getting more wound up with herself, you know.
So, she's still telling her friends day about the crazy guy.
"It's blur angmoa. Wow, blur like sotonga, this guy. Waiting for a plane at the Kallang airport." So, in the purposes of clarification for any new visitors or expats or foreigners listening to this, the airport is closed. It has been closed since the 1950s. But a glorious place.
Excellent. Our place of the day, Kallang Airport, here on Money FM.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.